This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9 wishes to advise the following program, Hide and Seek, is a show intended for an adult audience. Generally, our discussions are of a sexual nature and may contain coarse language and references to drugs.
Sit back and enjoy the ride, and enjoy the ride, and enjoy the ride, and enjoy, and enjoy, and enjoy, and enjoy, and enjoy, and enjoy, and enjoy. And enjoy the ride.
One woman who is the founding mother, if you like, behind the Eros Foundation, also one of the people that helped get Sexpo up and running. And she's the woman behind the Australian Sex Party. Her name is Fiona Patton. She joins us on the line with some very exciting news. Fiona, welcome to Hide and Seek.
Thanks, Dean.
Now, Fiona, you have something very special to share with us. Please do.
Well, we are very excited that the Australian Electoral Commission approved the registration of the Australian Sex Party as a federal political party on Friday.
Congratulations. You know, I read your press release over the weekend, and you just saying that then makes it real, and I've got tingles up and down my spine. Congratulations.
Yeah, look, we're really pleased, and it is quite a milestone. And while there have been other political parties that have established around the world, sort of Cicciolina in Italy, and there is a form of a sex party in Canada, I think this is probably one of the first that has such a broad platform of sex issues.
Just take us quickly through what that sort of look and feel is, because it was really part of your application process, wasn't it, with the Australian Electoral Commission?
Well, that's right. I mean, this was the Electoral Commission took a lot of time considering our name. They had received a few objections stating that the term sex party was obscene. So they had to go through a lot of law books and go through a lot of dictionaries to consider that point. But, yeah, as you say, they also went through our policies and platforms and said, well, you know, here's a party that stands for, you know, greater sex education, improved sexual health. It's got issues around sexual censorship and gay marriage and sex discrimination, sexuality issues. So what better name for the party than the Sex Party? And that certainly was one of the grounds for them approving our name and approving our party.
Now, there were quite a lot of objections, but only four or five that actually stood up in the eyes of the Australian Electoral Commission, and those objections were based on the word sex being used.
Mm.
And like you said, that has been found not to have been an issue.
Look, I think we as a society should be pretty happy that the federal government, in the form of the Australian Electoral Commission, has decided that the word sex in itself is not obscene, even when mixed with the word party.
Yes, because I had to read this word about three or four times. In the minutes of the Australian Electoral Commission that I read today, there is a word that I'd never seen before, but it's fabulous once you get it. Orgiastic or something?
Yes. Was it orgiastic notions?
Yes. Now, meaning you were implying that you were an orgy party.
Well, you know, I think it actually relates to one of the objectors noted our slogans, which was "Where you come first." And he said, well, obviously they're just talking about male orgasms, aren't they?
Well, I note here in the findings of the Australian Electoral Commission that they even quote the Australian Sex Party. They say, the party membership form states that sex is deeply rooted in the lives of all Australians.
That's right, I know.
So we could have as many double entendres as you like, but the fact now is you're real.
Exactly. We are a federal party. We will be above the line on everyone's ballots around Australia. We'll be sitting next to, you know, the Australian Labor Party, the Australian Greens and the Australian Liberal Party and whoever else will be on the ballot at the time. So I think, you know, we'll also be up for federal funding, and you know, we're fairly hopeful that we'll get a good crack at this. We've certainly had an awful lot of media for it, and by most of it reasonably positive, saying this party actually is standing for a number of issues that are important, and most importantly, that we're standing as another voice to the sort of rising Wowserism that seems to be infiltrating most of our politics, both state and federal.
What is the next step from here, Fiona? You'll need candidates, will you not?
We're certainly looking for candidates. I mean, who knows when the federal election will be called. It can sort of be called any time from now, depending on Kevin Rudd's feelings. But yes, certainly candidates and funding, and of course membership. We want to have a broad range of members, and of course have a broad range of candidates.
Why is membership so? It's important to the likes of Joy, but why is it so important to the Australian Sex Party?
Look, I think similar to Joy. I mean, it's your grassroots, and it's the reason that you're there, and you get a lot of certainly get a lot of assistance from your members through volunteering and the like, so in that regard support, but you also get your ideas, you get your inspiration from your membership base. And we were actually just having a policy meeting this evening, and I mean it was really going back through a lot of the emails that supporters have sent us that was really enabling us to kind of start broadening our approach and really starting to look at the reasons of why we're doing what we're doing.
Now, one of your interesting policies is to get on the pharmaceutical benefits scheme a list of sexual dysfunction type drugs.
Drugs.
Now, that I would imagine is a fairly controversial policy stance.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it shouldn't be. Sex is an extremely important part of people's lives. And when they have a dysfunction that they can't have sex, it impacts on so many other parts of their lives as well. And now, with an ever-aging population, this is going to become more and more important. And while it's quite okay to go and see a psychologist about an eating disorder, it's not okay to see a psychologist or about a sex disorder or of any sort of dysfunction. And nor can someone on a pension or someone on a limited income really afford some of the medical remedies for it.
You've also got some strong points as far as education is concerned, and tell us about that. You've outlined it previously, but it's about sex education being across the board, isn't it?
I know. It was really interesting. I was going back and looking at the objections, and one of the Mr. Robinson, you know, he and his wife objected strongly to us. And one of the things was that we would ruin the innocence of youth by providing sex education. And I think, you know, he just really highlights why we need sex education. And I personally believe it should start from when you go to school to when you finish school, and then your sex education continues in leaps and bounds as you become an adult. But, you know, you just look at the vast amount of media that kids of today see, which is really growing exponentially. And I think it's really important that we provide good, safe, accurate information about sex and relationships to kind of hopefully reduce the amount of sexual violence, reduce the amount of sexual bigotry, and probably reduce the amount of STIs and unwanted pregnancies out there.
Now, one of my personal favourites is our censorship issues, and I know they're a state-based thing, but what will the Australian Sex Party be able to do if they get in government in regards to censorship?
Look, I think there's a number of things, and again, we were actually talking about this tonight, that, yes, I mean, you're quite right that sort of the prohibition on the sale of X-rated films, for example, from Victorian adult stores is a state matter. But it's something that the federal government can put pressure on. It's also, when you look at the way technology's going, I mean, it's just archaic that we have state-based censorship. You know, when we're looking at the internet and we're debating censorship on the net, and of course that's seen as a national issue. You know, we haven't got Victoria saying, well, you know, we're not going to have an internet filter down here. I mean, there's no question that censorship at that level, of course, is a national issue. And I think, of course, the Sex Party is absolutely opposed to the idea of an internet filter, you know, for probably all the same reasons as your listeners would oppose to an internet filter that's run by the government. So internet filter, and I hope changing our censorship model so it is a national model and truly reflects the fact that we are in the 21st century.
Now, we are well aware of the Liberal stance, and we're, well, not quite sure where the Labor Party is these days. How are you going to attack what will be some pretty hard heads there in Canberra?
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting. I mean, usually, I mean, the sex industry and sex itself is often demonised in Parliament, and it will be very, I mean, I think it's just going to be so much fun to be standing next to these people.
It's not meant to be fun, Fiona.
And seeing how they respond. And I hope sometimes we'll be able to provide a voice. I still believe that most politicians have sex just like you and I, and that
no,
they're generally speaking, please just keep that to yourself, Dean.
Okay.
That they're generally speaking in line with the community. You know, 70% of the community believes in gay marriage. I suspect you probably find that 70% of politicians do, but they're not brave enough to go public with that. And I'm hoping that maybe having a sex party there will enable them to be just that little bit braver. We've certainly seen it, you know, even just on the internet filter, where Senator Conroy, the communications minister, had always said, oh, it will be all, you know, X-rated, non-violent erotic material which will be on the filter. Now, the minute he was standing up next to us, he changed that tune and said, oh, well, no, of course, Fiona, we wouldn't ban X-rated material. We'll only ban, you know, Fred Niles' favourites, you know, the video nasties. So I think we can have an influence just by standing up there and taking those points to them. And maybe, as the first person to speak, it making it easier for them to second it.
Now, Fiona, how would people get in contact with you if they wanted to assist you as perhaps being a candidate?
Oh, look, just email us via the website. That's probably the easiest.
Which is sexparty.org.au?
That's right. That would be the easiest. And we're definitely planning in the next probably 4 to 6 weeks some get-togethers down in Melbourne as well. So, which I'll certainly let you know about.
Fantastic.
And they'll be up on our website too, so maybe sign up to the newsletter and stay informed.
What is a suitable candidate for the Australian Sex Party? I'm just thinking of applying, that's all.
Well, I think you would do extremely well as a suitable candidate. Someone who has a really sex-positive approach. I suppose one of the other things is that a lot of our support and the reason that the party was born was out of a lot of, you know, sort of local businesses like Club X or Toolshed in New South Wales. So, you know, having a little bit of a business background, having an interest in business is probably also something that we would encourage.
And ex-ministers of the church and teachers are most welcome too, I'm sure.
Of course they are. We are a very broad church, as it were, and unlike them, we don't discriminate.
Fiona, we've received a note of congratulations via SMS from Christian of Scarlet Alliance and Red.
Oh, thank you, Christian. Lovely to hear
from you.
He says,
congratulations about the Australian Sex Party.
Oh, great. Yeah, I must say, we've been receiving a lot of them from sort of all around the world today, which has been really, really encouraging. And, you know, people from Turkey and people from the United States saying, you know, how can we start one ourselves?
This really is the next step forward, isn't it?
Yes, Australia first, then the world.
Fantastic. Thanks, Fiona. Fiona Patton from the Australian Sex Party joining us here on Hide and Seek. You're listening to Joy.
Hide and Seek.
Sponsored by Circuit Bar. Circuit.com.au.
You're on Hide and Seek. This is Joy 94.9. Dean Beck with you. And joining me in the studio is a Gen Y man who has been filling in for us a little earlier tonight. You might have heard him filling in for Cade. But I've asked James Finlay to join us to talk a little bit about Gen Y because I need to be filled in. James, welcome to Hide and Seek.
Thank you very much for having me, Dean.
Now, you have a role with Midsummer. What do you do with Midsummer?
I look after marketing and publicity for Midsummer.
And you've also worked on another radio station.
Yes. For the last just over three years maybe now, I've been at SYN, which is the Student Youth Network. Many roles there, but my latest role has been involved with the Naughty Rude Show, which is on Sunday nights on the radio and Monday nights on Channel 31.
Multimedia.
Uh-huh.
Now, James also has a blog and he has also been Twittering today.
Yes.
I can't get my head around Twitter. Help.
Well, I think that's where we start, Dean. Gen Y. Jen, what are you, baby boomer? Will I be offending
no,
you
no,
if
no,
I
no,
say
no,
that?
No, I'm a Gen Xer. I should have prefaced this by saying James is an ageist, heightist, opinionated exhibitionist with a throw-in nymphomaniac size queen, and that's the man before us.
I'm not going to defend that. I'm not going to defend that at
you
all.
You don't need to. That's why you're here. You wouldn't have been invited if you weren't those things.
Oh, thank you.
So, Twitter. Tell us about Twitter.
Well, Twitter, it's a lot of celebrities are doing it several times a day. What are you doing right now? But the thing is, the secret about it is it's not what you're doing. It's not like I'm just having a drink. It's like it's more observational, I feel. And that's what you get more out of it. It's like I was just hit by a tram, by a lady on the tram with her walking stick.
Like, but it's like you've got to have this whole 24/7, this is what I'm doing. I noticed on your own blog there was a Twitter link that tells you what you're tweeting on your blog, just if you needed more of it. And you said that you were feeling in here on Joy, and I thought, he's so up to date with this, like, who reads that?
You'd be surprised. There's
these
many people.
Direct friends or just
no actually
randoms?
That's the difference between Facebook and Twitter. Facebook is your friends, whereas Twitter is mostly randoms. They're strangers.
How does it come through? It comes through on your phone or your email or your computer or what?
Yeah, it's mostly web, but you can also use it on your phone. So if you've got like a web browser on your phone or you've got an iPhone, there's an app for it, application.
I read with interest on the website that marketing gurus are now saying that Twitter only gets about an 8% return on its marketing value. That's interesting.
8% it didn't get last year, though.
Yeah, good point. And you know, it's saved the world in Iran and all sorts of things. Twitter, what's that got to do with love and life and relationships? Do you find people through Twitter?
No, I don't know about that. I can't say I found anyone through Twitter. Can't say I found a fuck through Twitter either. But hey, there's always tomorrow. There's always next week.
Okay, you can send an SMS to James. don't do that. What is it about you and Randy Thursdays?
I don't know. It's like, it's that time of the week.
Because you lose it on Thursdays, I hear.
I do lose it on Thursdays.
The office gossip. You are a nightmare on Thursdays till Friday when you've had your route and then you're back to normal.
That's right. So usually I go out on Thursday nights. And so, you know, you get some on the weekend, then, you know, you've had a few days where maybe you haven't. By Thursday, you're kind of going crazy and you can't wait for the weekend. So you get some.
You say you go out on a Thursday. Where do you go out on a Thursday night?
To a bar.
You can name it.
Oh, okay. I go to Barry's on Thursdays, followed by the Peel.
Right. But, okay.
Yep. Cool.
Right. Got that.
It's a Gen Y.
I know both of those. Mm-hmm. The Peel was Gen X too. I just want that noted for the record.
Not so much on a Thursday, but it has been infiltrated lately.
And I believe their renovations are lovely.
Yes.
Now, James, you have a blog about a fuck buddy breakup.
Yeah.
Do tell.
Happened a couple of weeks ago.
But isn't the fact that you have a fuck buddy the fact that there's nothing to break up?
No, well, he got a boyfriend. So wasn't more like a breakup. It was more, well, I don't know, it could be a breakup. Because our fucking relationship literally ended. It came to an end.
Quote,
unquote. Quote, unquote. It was a fucking relationship and it ended because he got a boyfriend.
So does that mean that when the boyfriend's gone, because inevitably that will happen.
Yeah.
That you'll still be there?
Maybe I've got a boyfriend then. Maybe I've got a new fuck buddy who's better than him.
It's a competition now.
Well, I don't know. It could be. I'm open for auditions too, by the way.
042s. No, I'm not allowed to do that. Have you ever done a beat?
Funny story. My first experience was actually at a sauna.
That's not a beat, though.
Oh, no, actually, okay, well, let's, okay, if we're going to separate it. No, I haven't done a beat.
But see, I've got this thing that I reckon Gen Yers are quite judgmental about Gen Xers. And, well, they don't even know that beats exist. They don't need to. They just go online and you get a route.
Yeah, well, that's right. We don't need beats, really.
We had to find people in the old days and we didn't have computers.
I know. It's like, what is it? I'll see you at the toilets down on Bourke Street in 15 minutes kind of thing.
Something like that. Not that there are any in Bourke Street anymore.
No, I have been in a toilet once where someone's put their hand under the you know, the separation mm-hmm, wall thing. Mm-hmm. But you don't know who's on the other side. They could be extremely hideous.
Sure. They but could I suppose be extremely hung too.
Well, that's true. I suppose all you have to do is turn your back and you're not going to see their face anyway.
So tell us about this funny experience at the sauna.
Oh, yeah. So, because it took me ages to come out. I'm from regional New South Wales to start off with. So, you know, gays don't exist there. Well, they do. Just they're quite closeted, as I found out when I went back there.
Uh-huh.
And...
See, I'm from Bendigo. They didn't exist there either. They do now.
There's plenty
they
there.
They do now, but they didn't when I grew up.
I think they may even have a gay night there.
They have all sorts of things that weren't there when I was there.
Wow. That might be my next holiday destination. No, so I was on the internet feeding my curiosity a couple of years ago.
That's what we call it now.
Yeah, curiosity. It did kill a cat, but it certainly didn't kill me. And this guy couldn't take me back to his place because he was closeted and he was a tradie, and the only place he knew where to go was Wet in Collingwood, a sauna.
Yeah.
And? So he took me there, and I had never seen so much cock in my whole entire life. Not from the one person, from many people. He wasn't that hung. So I was thinking, is this really what it's all about? And I kind of got, it was overload. It was cock overload. And at the time, I really couldn't deal with cock overload. Sure, I got off. It was fine. I had a kind of nice time. And I had a bit of a sauna. And then I went home and thought, you know, maybe this isn't for me. But, you know, a couple of months later, you're back on the internet trying to find another one.
Well, I'll show you my first experience with...
You'll show me?
No. Share.
Oh, right. You. Okay.
My first experience with a little brown bottle was at a beach. And this... I was about 19. This guy handed it to me. And I thought, oh, he's sniffing this little brown bottle.
Mm-hmm.
He must really like the smell of that.
Yeah.
So I've dabbed it on my pulse points and behind my ears.
Oh, no.
And he's going, what the hell are you doing with that? And I said, well, clearly you like the smell of it. So anyway.
Embarrassing.
I subsequently found out what the little brown bottle was all about. Your loves and lives are blogged for all to see.
Yeah.
Tell us about this thing with platonic relationships. What is it that it's only newly discovered for you?
Well, yeah, no, because... And for listeners who don't know what a platonic relationship is, it's... It's a relationship where there is no sexual kind of tension. Well, maybe there is sexual tension, but there's no sexual activity between you and in the gay world, for gays and lesbians, it's someone of the same sex. Whereas in the straight world, it's you and someone of the opposite sex.
But so it's a relationship.
It is a relationship, but it's more of a loving relationship. So you've got this...
As opposed to... What, a friendship. Loving relationship?
A friend... No. as opposed to a friendship, Dean. So, like... They're not just a normal friend, but you actually really love the person.
Yeah.
But you couldn't imagine having sex with them. And that was something that it took me a while to get used to because my really close friends had been female until now. I met a few guys, and one of them I thought I developed a crush for. Maybe I did, but now it's turned totally platonic. And I don't know, some people don't like platonic relationships for this exact reason, that it's totally really confusing. So yeah, that's what happened. And so now I'm in a platonic relationship at the moment. And
so it's ongoing. It's current. Well, it's now.
It's a friendship.
And it's there for all to read on a blog. How does he feel about you blogging him?
Oh, he doesn't know who it is. It could be someone else.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mind you, one of my mates has called me up last week and he was like, someone's told me that I'm in your blogs. And I was thinking, oh, shit.
I get someone's told me that I'm in your gaydar photos.
Oh, right. Well, and it turns out there was a whole rumour going across, like, the whole, you know what the gay community is like. So everyone was like, oh, have you got a boyfriend now? And he's like, no, why? He's like, oh, I read it on James's blog. Oh, no, I heard it from someone who'd heard it from someone who told me that it was on James's blog. And he's like, oh, no. He's like, yeah, you're his fuck buddy. And he's like... No, I'm not. And he's like, yeah, I read about it. You're always over at his house. You do this, you do that. It's like, no. No, he's like, and he says in his blog, he texts you and in 20 minutes, you're over there. You did that the other day. And he's like, no.
You're not Twittering that as well, are you?
I don't know. Some things come up on Twitter. But the thing is, it turns out a lot of people are reading these blogs. And he found it quite amusing that he was, you know, a subject of my blog, but really wasn't. So everyone thought he was my fuck buddy and he had a boyfriend.
Well, that wouldn't have helped.
Well, no, it didn't help. But hey, at least it got me some publicity.
Exactly. We're talking to James Finlay. He's filling me in on what Gen Y get up to. And we've found a few similarities, quite a few differences. You're listening to Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
Hide and Seek. I think you'd have to be...
Ding Beck here with our Gen Y expert for the night, James Finlay. James, fucking on a first date.
Yeah.
What's the deal?
I really... Look, a lot of people have problem with this. They're like, no, I have to hold out. I have to wait. He might be the one. I'm like, you know what? If you both have so much sexual chemistry at wherever your date is that you can't hold it in, fucking go for it.
Do you know, there were times in my life when I looked at all of my immediate friends and went, I've slept with all of you. But you're really close friends. And it's because I've got nothing to hide that there was the connection.
Mm.
It's like, once you get past that,
yeah,
you can create a lovely friendship. But I know other people that just get really screwed up by it and they can't see them again. Don't know
what that's about. Yeah, that's the thing. And I actually have three rules.
What are they?
Well, the first rule is you can't be friends with exes.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm friends with all my exes.
Yeah, I know. But I think if you break things up badly, I really think it's best to just cut that out and just leave it alone. Or even if you have nothing in common with this person and that's why I broke up, nothing else to do with them. That's just personal rule.
Yeah.
I know a lot of my friends are friends with their exes, but it makes it for trouble down the road. Like, if when you have a relationship with someone else and you're friends with your ex, there's jealousy there.
But what if they're a plumber and you need your plumbing fixed?
Are we talking about fuck buddies now?
No, we're talking about them being a plumber and you need your plumbing fixed.
Well, then that's okay, but are you friends with your plumber?
No.
Exactly. There we go. There's right. A difference.
Rule number two.
Rule number two is no spooning with strangers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Spooning. How would you get in that position anyway?
Well, if they stay over.
Ah, I see. Right. So, right. First time, there's no spooning.
Yeah, that's
why
right.
Why would they be staying over? Get in, get up, get out. Isn't that the rule?
Yeah, but sometimes, you know, you're just so tired that you just both fall asleep.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. Get if you've cabs. Been out. I know. I suppose. Rule number three is no sleeping with friends. And, or no picking up friends and no fucking friends. That's rule number three.
I've broken every rule so far.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's another generational thing.
I think you might be right.
Or it could be just a me thing. I need to set myself rules or else the world would actually collapse.
I think you need to set yourself a rule around Thursday nights because Melbourne, lock up your sons.
Well, lock up your boyfriends is actually one of the sayings.
Are you a bit of a chaser of attached men, are you?
No. It's just the way it ends up. They don't tell me they have a boyfriend until we've finished.
Now, does size matter, James?
You know what? At the end of the day, I've had this discussion with a few people and they've kind of got upset with me. Maybe because they've got a small cock. I don't know. But at the end of the day, it does matter, but I really don't think it's the end of the world, to be honest. And I actually said it in my blog. And if people want to read my blog, by the way, it's jamesfinlay.wordpress.com. You can check it out there.
He's now marketing. Go on.
But the thing is, no one likes sucking on a small dick.
Yeah, but we've all...
No one likes being fucked by a small dick either.
Well,
I don't know, some people like that. I'll let you get a word in now.
Haven't you had a really big dick that is just a waste of time and then had a not-so-big dick that is really puts you through a brick wall?
Well, yeah, and, you know, if it's too big, we don't want that either.
Sure.
No, sure they're fun to play
with. Big doesn't make you a good root.
No, I know that. I know, people with normal size cock can still be an average root. I'm totally saying that. But I still think that size does matter because if you've got this 20, I don't know, I'm totally speaking to the wrong person here because I've seen footage with you with a fucking huge dildo or some kind of plastic thing that goes for meters long. And I know where those kind of things go because I've seen some footage. But the thing is, like, when you're having sex, I really
now
don't
I'm blushing.
Think, now you're blushing, yeah. I really don't think it's something that you want thrust into you when you're not expecting it. Or maybe
not,
if you are
no,
expecting it.
No, but it's
it, really.
Nice. It's if you warm up politely, it's lots of fun. Now, have you got any questions for me?
Yeah, actually, I just made the connection before that I've watched a few clips on Viva Cool City.
Oh, we don't have to give out the name, but yeah, go on.
Apparently, you're a fisting expert.
I have been known to hold the odd educational class. In fact, I've got a class coming up as part of Melbourne Leather Pride in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
Those classes are filling up rapidly, but check the Melbourne Leather Pride guide if you'd like to come along.
Now and, who's doing marketing?
Yeah, good point.
Okay, wait, we'll stick on leather. I don't get it. Like, sorry if I'm offending you.
No, not at all.
But it's... I don't head out to my bar around the corner in leather gear. Actually, I don't own any leather gear. Mind you, I wouldn't mind some leather tights. I think they'd be pretty leather hot.
Tights?
Like, you know, some really tight leather pants. I think that'd be hot.
Okay. But I'd like to see you in... No, go on.
Okay. But what's this whole thing around it? Like, what... I don't know. What is it? Is it the whipping? Is it the chaps? Is it...
Well, not for me. But it's an expression of masculinity.
Right.
Men look hot in leather.
It's not a repression of gayness if you're trying to be more masculine?
No, it's an expression of gayness.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I think I agree with you there.
Yeah.
So what's your favourite leather outfit? For yourself, maybe. Oh, no. What do you like seeing people in? Let's go there first.
I like seeing people in nothing, but...
if they had to wear something.
If they had to wear something in leather, chaps maybe, jockstrap particularly.
Oh, yeah, that sounds all right.
Now, Grant has sent in an SMS, James, and he wants to have your blog address again.
Oh.
Grant, grab a pen and write this down, will you?
It's James Findlay, spelled FINDLAY, .wordpress.com.
Or
if you go into Google and type in "that's a bit gay," it'll actually come
as
up.
As in, that's a bit gay.
Yeah, that's a bit gay. Because my blog is a bit gay.
It is a bit gay.
It's very gay, actually. Blogs come out every Thursday, so if you want a day.
How long have you been writing the blog?
Just over a month.
Oh, okay. So it's all pretty new.
Yeah, it's quite current. Because it comes out, I do one every week. This week will be on open relationships.
Now, let's have that discussion. How do you feel about open relationships?
I don't think really I'm a fan.
So you're a monotony thing.
Yeah, if you're in a relationship with someone and you want to be with them, then you're with them. You're not getting the best of both worlds. I really don't think you can do that. You can't be in a relationship with someone, and I mean full on relationship. You are boyfriend, boyfriend, girlfriend, 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 boyfriend, whatever. You can't fuck other people. If you only want to be with that person, you're only with that person. I really, truly understand that. And I'm only bringing it up because...
I can't agree with you.
You
don't believe you can... You don't believe that you can love somebody, but have a physical attraction and arrangement with somebody else?
No, I think you can have a sexual attraction for someone else, but I don't know. Like, I am kind of new to this. I am why, okay? You've had, like, tens of... years of sexual experience on top of me. And, well, not on top of me, obviously. We haven't been there. But the thing is, like, maybe my opinions will change in a couple of years. But one of my friends has actually come up with a concept that, you know, who says that we're supposed to be with one person for the rest of our lives anyway? Like, why can't we, you know, be with whatever we want? Who says that, you know, you're supposed to be with one person for the rest of your life? Why can't you be with a few? And that... kind of fucks up with my head because
they mean you have stages in your life.
That, yeah,
it's this person for a period and then
yep.
this person for a period.
Yeah,
right, okay.
But I don't know. I tend to believe that you know you might have a soulmate, or I'm putting that in inverted commas if for those people listening. But I don't like at the end of the day.
Doesn't that come back to your platonic thing that we were talking about before?
No, yeah, it does, but. It's someone that you love so much that you only want to sleep with them. Like I just really think that this open relationship thing...
Until the next big cock comes around the corner.
Well, I don't know. If you're happy with what you've got, I really don't think that you need to go somewhere else. Right?
Yeah.
How many open relationships have you been in? Are you in one now?
I haven't been in a relationship for about 6 years, but my last relationship was an open relationship and was...
Did it end badly?
No, he's my best friend.
No, I'm not surprised. I'm judging you.
Good luck with that. Our 24-year-old Gen Y expert, James Findlay.
I'm 22, don't put
on
2 extra
now
years.
I'm 22.
I hope I didn't skip a generation then.
No. you didn't.
Oh, God.
22-year-old Gen Y expert, James Finlay, has been joining us here on Hide and Seek. James, thank you for your insights. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you here. We are very, very enlightened by what Gen Y get up to.
Thanks very much for having me. Hopefully I'll be talking to you soon.
Hide and Seek.
Sponsored by Circuit Bar. Circuit.com.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.